life because something happened that I would, that it so devastated me. You know what? Let me share something else with some of you young men out there that want to get involved in this. Do you know how traumatic it is being a godly pastor? It is on your families. On your families. I mean, if you have a real godly wife and you're raising children. I am currently watching an HBO series called John Adams. I like to watch stuff like that. And one of the things that I like about this series, and it is historically documented in the correct form, that Abigail Adams, John's wife, was a very strong woman. Not only was she a very strong woman, but she supported her husband. And in the series that I'm watching, in this series, she suffers the pain of what her husband went through as he tried to come together and put together something for a country in these here United States so many years ago. And as I watched the series, I could not help but to think of the pain that my wife experienced watching me go through literal hell with these people that I had finally come to realize that they were not Christians in the first place. It is terrible for your wives to go through this, to know that other men are jealous of you, envious of you, that other women are liking you. Okay? And the tension that's put on a young man and being a pastor, especially if he is gifted in any way by God, and especially people that have husbands that are not gifted. See, you have to think about all of these things. She got a husband that's not gifted, and then she's looking at the pastor every week, and then she wants to talk to the pastor, and then my wife is looking in the face of these shameful women who are not embarrassed by how they are approaching me. And of course I see it, but I have to be the decent pastor that I had to, man, you know, to, you know, just to keep it real. I won't go into that detail, but I had to tell somebody not too long ago, get up and get out of my house. That's what I had to tell somebody. You get up and get out of here. Right now. I mean, I just think that if we're Christians and if we don't know how to conduct ourselves in a way, and then when somebody just got to say, you get up and get out of here. I'm not letting anybody, female, male, anybody, take me away from where God wants me to be in my life. And did you know, listen to this pastor. Those of you, any of you that call yourself a Christian, anything, anybody takes you away from where God wants you, that is Satan. And you've got to be bold enough even to tell your mother to get up and get out of your face. And if you're not that kind of a man, you are the weakest thing. And that's another problem in our churches. We men have become feminized. You're so busy trying to make everybody happy. It's not time to make everybody happy. You wait until this whole culture disintegrates right in front of your face. You're going to find out what being happy is. Don't worry, be happy. They're not going to be playing that on the radio. So what I want you to do is I want you to pick up a sense that when you come to this website, that PJ is not angry. Oh, no, I'm not angry. What I'm doing is I'm going to show you everything. And I'm showing you everything because I don't want you to make the same mistakes that people have made in ministry over the past 20, 25 years. When you look at ministry and you're looking at ministry where you can be this popular evangelist, this where people are saying, oh, guess who's coming to dinner? Guess who's coming to town? You don't want me to come to your town. You really don't. You don't want to invite me. You don't want me to be there because, hey, just as simple as that. That's the kind of person I am. That's the kind of person that I will be. You know what I think about this ministry? The recordings and the who, what young man, what, where is he? Where is he that can step into this and come and do this stuff and do it in a way far more adequate than I can? I'm dealing with this stuff on a modern level, and I'm telling you, I'm 65 plus, and this is taxing me. It is. I have been praying to God, God, send me a young man that loves you enough, a young black man. Why do I want him to be black? I don't know. Maybe because I'm black. I don't know. Send me a young black man that loves Jesus with his whole heart, soul, mind, will, and everything, that will come in this studio and sit at this microphone and with passionate resolve, do the work of ministry for the rest of his life. Send me a young man that, if he's married or if he's not married, that is dedicated to the work, to the service of Christ, and not afraid to confront people with God's truth. Why? So that, why, John? Why? Because when I go to heaven, when I get out of here, when I go to glory land, that with confidence, the work of God will continue on in a nation that has turned its back on God, because whenever God's servants stop doing what God has called them to do, then that nation will plunder into total spiritual defeat. That's what Pastor John is all about. It's not about getting no church. It's not about, and you know what? No, they don't even invite me out to preach anymore. You ever wonder why they will not invite an aged pastor like me out to preach? Now, I know everybody's inviting Dr. John MacArthur. Oh, Dr. MacArthur, come out. And you know what? I've heard his messages. They all sound alike. I know what exposition is all about. I know the importance of exegesis. I know how the godly pastor is supposed to live. Hey, come on now. Invite me out to preach to your church. And I'll ask you one simple question. What are you people doing setting up here? All this sin going on all around in your neighborhoods, in your schools, in the workplaces, all the hatred in your family. I got to talk to a guy. I'd ask him to call me here in the studio today. He heard me on the John Loeffler Still on Still show, and he thought I was a racist because of a statement that I made about illegals in this city. There's a lot of illegals in this city. They're illegal. Man, what you want to call them, immigrants? No, they're illegals in this country illegally. The law has been broken, even though this country was ripped off from their ancestors. I know that. But one wrong doesn't justify you doing wrong. Now, I'm speaking in Christian terms. And then a Christian is going to accuse me of being a racist against Hispanics when I got Hispanics in my family that I love. I'll die. Man, don't get me started. I'd die for my Hispanic family in a drop of a hat. Don't call me that. But you know why? You know why you do that? Because you get carried away. You get carried away with this mess. You cannot make an argument like that. Nor can you get carried away with something that you feel strongly about that has absolutely no validation behind it at all. And that is what we've done. Now, man, my webcasts become longer and longer and longer and longer. Well, I want to share some Bible with you. So as I prepare to share some Bible, let me prepare to share some Bible with you, and then I'll be back after a few seconds of this nice music. So why don't you grab your Bible, and then when I come back, I'll share the word of God with you. This is Pastor John. Thank you for coming to the website. Don't go away. I'll be right back. That's right, Lord, have thine own way. That's what we want God to do. I want to talk with some of you guys out there because, you know, a lot of you have never really paid very close attention to a person like me when I come across as this. You know, a lot of people have me down as this mean guy, and I'm not a mean guy. I'm a masculine guy. And sounding masculine like this sounds like meanness, but it's not meanness. It's being a masculine guy. Well, we at times have assumed that all of us are truly disciples of the Lord before we continue with the discussion of what masculine Christian maturity is. See, don't call yourself a disciple of Christ, and you're not that. If we recognize that God does love us regardless of our cultural, racial, and financial background, since he did save us, why can't I see my way as I seek to fulfill the destiny of a person in this society as a man? Well, a lot of us can't see our way because of how we've been nurtured, how we've been brought up, how our frame of reference has been shaped. We have to ask ourselves, is our salvation a given that I will succeed in it? Are there extra special restricted requirements that must be met before the situation turns itself around? Not really. But I think what one has to do is one has to view themselves, especially if he is a guy and he is a Christian. And ladies, I want you to listen in, because if you have a man, then your man should be this kind of a guy. Now, there's a real possibility, guys, that there are some hidden factors which other people have laid the foundation in those hidden factors. And I'm not talking about psychological undercoverings or things like that, but there are hidden factors that cause you to be the kinds of persons that you are. The masculine Christian male is one who is governed by the concepts of our principles of love. See, and let's go to the scripture and look at this. Go with me to Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. You got your Bibles handy? Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31, as we look at this together. And hopefully, as we go through these very short but important scriptures, we will understand exactly where I'm coming from. Mark 12, 30 and 31. I'm turning to it right now. You hear it? All right, 30 and 31 reads like this. It says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." And then Jesus speaks about the second commandment is this: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Now, this is a beautiful thing. I said that the masculine Christian male is one who is governed by the concept or the principles of love. We find in these particular verses that teach us that love is the sum total of the law. You're not going to be a Christian that is doing anything for God unless love governs absolutely everything that you do. That's why I love you enough to tell you the truth about what's happening in biblical Christianity today. I'm not going to be one of those pastors that just sits on the sidelines while I see that the church is ruinous and headed for a disaster, so I'm going to leave it alone. No. How can this be if we've never experienced the manifestation of love other than within the church who has been made Christ-like? Now, there's a good question. Because if you've never really experienced love in your life, guys, love from a father, love from a godly pastor, man, you know, one of the things that has blown my mind over the years in ministry is that when I love guys, that they respond crazily. There was a guy, I was setting up a Bible study last night, and a couple of guys came by. I always have more guys in my Bible study than gals. Men, I draw men. And so I'm setting up out in the classroom, and the guys are eating and enjoying themselves. And so I said, well, one of you do something and get up and wash the dishes or do something. And one of the brothers said, all right, Pastor John, I'll do it. And I noticed when I got up this morning after everybody left for Bible study that my kitchen was so neat and clean. Every utensil, every glass, everything was washed and neatly put in the drainer and strained. It was just, then this brother washed my dishes. And I said to this brother earlier, you know how much I love you. He says, man, a new dude loved me like this. No dude ever. Now, we see what Jesus is saying in these verses. Do you love like that, guys? Do you? Because if not, there's something wrong with you. This kind of love is an unconditional one, which overflowed from Christ to other people. Don't you understand that? It is impossible for believers to demonstrate this kind of love unless they have personally experienced this in their own lives. You cannot do this unless it has happened to you. Now, what I need you to be is honest with me. Has that happened to you? Because if you have not experienced this, then you cannot put this out. You see what I'm talking about? When Christ came into my life, it was love. He loved me. He didn't frighten me out of hell. He loved me into heaven. He, a man, loved me. A man. That's why I know how to love a man. It is insane for me to walk around and talk about that, I only love women. Like, no, you talking about lust, fool. You are out of your minds. I'm not talking about, let me use the technical term, coitus, you know, when you hook up with a female. That's not love. Animals do that all the time. You see two dogs stuck together. Okay, that ain't love. That's just human instinct. People do that. It's a strong drive in human beings to lock up with each other. But that ain't love. So let's not get that twisted. If you haven't experienced the kind of love I'm talking about, then you never will be able to understand Pastor John. You won't be able to understand me. Now, the way that most men in our society have experienced love, most of us have never experienced love on an intimate level, ever. And you know what? You got to be real enough to say that. I have never experienced love on an intimate level. Most inner city men have never seen it outside of being communicated by the means of sex. And like I said, that ain't love. That is not love. That's sex. Therein lies a problem. Sex is not love, and the media is not the source of what love is or ever can be. Because all the media is talking about is pornography and promiscuity, where we get our Greek term for pornography, pornos. That's all the media is all about. Whenever I turn on television, I see that, man, look at these humans trying to lock up. That cannot be once mentioned amongst us as Christians. I know it sounds weird for me to say that. What are you, some kind of a freak? No, man, I'm not like you because I know what you are. You're a whoremonger. See. Now, most black or minority men in the community are afraid of the term intimacy. We're terrified by it. We're petrified. intimacy with another guy. The guy washed my dishes. And you know what? When I first met this guy, oh, 100% he meant, I mean, the kind of dude I always wanted to be when I grew up. Wasn't intimate with no. I'll never forget one night we had a meeting over here and the guys were watching a basketball.